in the land of the living. Everybody knows when we get to heaven, everything's going to be behind us here. But we're not there yet. And there's a lot of fearful things here. And it's all designed to distract and discourage. And God wants His people to be focused on Him. He's working in our nation. There's a lot of people just praying that everything go back the way it was. Gas back to $2 or less. And everything just go back. Well, the way it was, wasn't revival. You say, well, what about all the mega churches? Honey, 10,000 people in a church doesn't mean there's 10,000 devout followers of Jesus Christ. And the honest leaders of those great churches are finally admitting that many of the people, most even, they have said, that go out the door don't follow Jesus in their daily life. And yet, we have got them into the building, and we have entertained them and gave them all kinds of promises to give them a warm, fuzzy feeling. But they don't know Christ as their Lord and Master, and therefore they go out and live their life and just mingle themselves with the people, as the Old Testament said, of one of the tribes of Israel. And they lose their distinctiveness because they never have made Jesus the Lord of their life. But oh, I want you to stay focused on me in this troubled time and to know that I am at work to answer your prayers. For you have prayed that I would send revival to your nation. And when you prayed that prayer, I, the Lord, begin to move and begin to answer. And what is happening right now is part of that answer. If you want to see a spiritual revival that will bring true blessings to your nation, continue to trust me through this troubled time. For as this nation shudders and shakes, yea, saith God, and people begin to fall upon their knees and cry unto me, I will hear from heaven, and I will answer, and I will truly heal the land, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise today. We wanted to go back to business as usual, a materialistic church, materialistic world. It's going to be tough on you and me for a while. We're going to feel the toughness of it. But we've got a God in heaven that hasn't forsaken us. Can you say amen? And He said, keep your focus on me. I believe God wants to take care of you and me in such a way, amen, that the world will know that we are distinctively set apart unto God. This is no time to back off. And by the way, for all of you people that believe that there is hope in God, that Jesus is the answer, amen, if you would notify your faces so you might have some credibility with the world about you. I want to be optimistic in a troubled time. I find that people draw strength from me if I have hope that they don't possess. My hope is in the Lord. It's not and pray, this election is a crucial, critical election, because whether or not we can obtain God's blessing depends on who sits on the Supreme Court, the laws that are passed. It's not just going to be a president that pushes a few buttons and solves problems. Whoever is the next president of the United States will be the one who appoints those people to be considered for the Supreme Court. They were going to make laws that are going to cause this nation to be blessed or cause it to come under God's curse. We're part of this nation. We need to be very prayerful. You need to be active. You need to vote your convictions. You need to let your voice be heard. If you don't ever complain about anything that happens. You have no voice in it. Can you say amen? So use your voice. It's important that we use our voice and we let it be heard. There is a huge voting block out there that is of the Christian persuasion that will vote on issues that have to do with morals more than money. Mm-hmm. Now, right now in the political arena, money is, they'll say it on every news channel without exception, the supreme issue with the American voter right now. It's not the war in Iraq. It's not nuclear issues with North Korea. It's not with whether or not Iran gets nuclear power and threatens Israel or threatens us. The great issue right now is what? Financial, the economy. That is the number one, because that is touching everyone in the immediate personal sense. Everyone, without exception. is feeling. I just came by one of the most beautiful car dealerships that you would find anywhere. Happens to be in Plant City. It was built just a few years ago. Bill Hurd Chevrolet. I had a car in there for work several times, and it is an extraordinarily beautiful and an inventory of some of the most beautiful automobiles you'd ever see. I mean, it's just a beautiful lot, Bill Hurd Chevrolet. And you can be seated. We're just talking now. Thank you for standing so long. But it there's an American flag, a huge American flag, you know, flying. And today that flag, I guess because there was no breeze when I came by, the flag was kind of drooping. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's kind of the attitude, isn't it? Amen. It's a drooping economy. It's a drooping attitude in America. And 13 of those dealerships all at once went bankrupt. Lennons and Things, after 33 years in the business, has filed Chapter 11. They are going bankrupt. The $700 billion that has been given to the money the failing banks and lenders that just use terrible business sense, greed-driven more than anything else, gets your piece of the action and get out of the business or let it fail with no concern for the long-term results. The $700 billion has not fixed the problem. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that's going to fix it, and it hasn't. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. The only one who can truly fix the problem is, his name is not McCain.
It is Amen.
And his name is not Obama.
Amen.
If you're thinking your government can solve your nation's problems. We have become socialistic without realizing. We think the government has all the answers. They got the money and they can do it all. They cannot. They are not. They didn't make. The government never made this nation great. Abraham Lincoln didn't make it great. George Washington didn't make it great. Amen. Righteousness exalts a nation because God's blessing comes upon it. That's what it means to be right. The Bible said righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach.
Yes.
And here's where America isn't excluded, and we thought maybe we would be. Sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible's very clear that grace is not a cloak to cover up for sin and rebellion. And in the New Testament, there's a balancing scripture to the grace that is offered us, tremendous grace. It said that if God didn't spare his own people, amen, when they sinned, but judgments came, corrective judgments, amen. We're a wild olive branch grafted in. Don't think that we can do the same thing they did, and somehow God's going to look over our sin. I really believe we're reaping what we've spent years sowing. The church's message is not the cross. It's not heaven. It's not his soon coming. It's not getting right with God. It's not holiness or sanctification. The message of a lot of the church out there is simply a means to get. It's a materialistic message. It's based on a worldview, amen, and a fleshly attitude. And you know that's the truth because you turn on the television. We've got the seeker-friendly movement that don't even talk about sin in order to get people to come to church, amen. So we don't talk about heaven or hell, for that matter. We just try to let all that work itself out, and it's an experiment that has failed terribly. And we are right now, I remember this time of year because I remember when our brother and sister came down from West Virginia to be with us, and they come down every year. Yeah, Bill and Woozy. How can I forget Woozy? Amen. That's a unique name. Amen. But when they come down here, I remember last year's under the anointing, saying that this nation is going to be judged in economically. No one paid any attention to that because we didn't want it to happen. We didn't want to hear that. But it was under the unction of the Spirit, and now it's here. We're under that. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is when people recognize we need God again. I heard a preacher say this morning, I agree wholeheartedly, the answer to our problem in America is on our paper money and coins right now. In God, we trust. This is not a nation, as a nation, that is trusting God. We've pushed him out of our political, even the candidates right now, either one of them want to distance themselves from evangelical Christian. They want the evangelical vote because of conservative concerns, but they do not want to identify neither candidate with any of the preachers in the land because it's unpopular to identify. You can't have my blessing.
My God.
And shove me out of your culture. You can't have my blessing and push me out of your home. You can't just have me at church and not in your life. You can't use me in the time of trouble and refuse me when the blessing comes. I have preached for over 35 years. The law of sowing and reaping is absolute ironclad. What I'm experiencing today is not a result of Satan's attacks or God's unfaithfulness. What I'm experiencing today is a result of what I have been sowing. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And because it doesn't happen like that, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, because God doesn't punish evil immediately, men's hearts are fully set in them to continue doing evil. Because you did it and nothing fell on you, nothing bad happened immediately, doesn't mean that that seed hasn't been sown and that harvest isn't coming in. Someone said it this way, but it also said in Ecclesiastes, but though a sinner do evil 100 times and prosper, yet it shall be well with them that serve the Lord and do righteously, but not so them that do evil. In other words, what he's saying was, it looks like God is not ever going to get around, amen, to taking care of these issues, but he is. Don't let the fact that he's long-suffering fool you into thinking that kindness and mercy is weakness on God's part. It is not. Can you say amen? If the church would just recognize, amen, that we're reaping what we sow, amen, so that we can change what we sow. If you don't like your harvest, it's time to plow it under with repentance and tears of repentance and start sowing the good seeds of obedience and holiness and righteousness, amen, so God can give you the kind of harvest that you need. If you've been just looking at the television and the bad stuff, if you've been more interested and more excited over salacious gossip than you are about the good things of the Lord, then you look like you have been jerked through a knothole backwards and you're trying to tell people that God is the answer when you yourself are not experiencing that. And that's what the Lord wants to address today. God has good things for this nation. We prayed for revival. He said, I heard your prayer. God can't bring revival to a stiff-necked people. A people have to be humbled for repentance to take place on a national level. Amen?
Yes, amen?
Amen? It has to happen. If the prodigal son had prospered in his sin, he would have never come back to his father's house and been restored. Amen. But he came to want, didn't he? Amen.
Hallelujah.
He came to want. And you know what happened? It got so bad out there in rebellion and sin. He said, you know something? He said, I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than to be out here doing my own thing. He said, I'm not even worthy. Look at the humility to be called his son. But if I can just go back and be a servant in my father's house, he doesn't even have to acknowledge me as son. But see, God never punishes past repentance. Say, God never punishes past repentance. Oh, you didn't hear me. God does not punish past repentance. Amen? There's grace in the New Testament, and it absolutely abolishes all of the handwriting that was against us. Everything that's written down, every indictment against us is abolished through the death of Jesus on the cross. And if people would just be humble enough to repent, if the church would just embrace that message again, God would bless America again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If we quit distancing ourselves from God and from preachers to get elected and go ahead and come out and say, whether I get elected or not, amen, I want to acknowledge that God is the hope of this nation. We need to immediately begin to repent of our sin and call upon Him. Oh, no, they might not put somebody in office, but at least we wouldn't be under the illusion that somebody can walk in there and politically and economically solve all of our problems without God's blessing on this nation. Amen. We need to hear the voice of the prophet again, the preacher again in America. We need to give heed to it. Amen. Billy Graham is shaky. He can't stand up and call America to repentance anymore. And God is looking for some people with the platform and the influence to use that platform and that influence. Amen. To recognize this promise of wealth untold has failed miserably. And you'd have to be blind to follow these guys and gals any further. They say, well, it's going to affect the world, but it ain't going to affect us. That's baloney. When I pull into the gas station back when it was pushing past $4, I paid the same thing to get gas to come here and worship and serve God as the guy with a trunk load of beer headed for the beach. Thank you. I just want you to know I paid the same thing. Nobody drove up and said, hey, God told me to buy your gas. Came out of my pocket, thank you. Can you say amen? Come on. Amen. My groceries cost the same as the vilest sinner. My light bill is going to go up just like theirs. I just thought I'd run that by you. If you think you're set apart, now that doesn't mean God ain't going to make a way for you. Yeah. Amen. He's always made a way for His people. But the Bible said, pray for kings and those that are in authority. So that what? So that you can live a peaceable life. Because you can't live a peaceable life in a land under God's judgment. Amen. So we got to pray for more than just stuff for ourselves. We need to get concerned about the things that will actually bring God's blessing again on this great nation. And I believe we're shaking for a reason. I believe we're shaking because God wants to bring a spiritual awakening and a spiritual revival. He wants it to begin in the church, but not stop with the church. He wants it to reach beyond the church to a gainsaying world that needs Him desperately. I believe God has a blessing in store for the people who repent and turn to Him during this troubled time. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. I want you to stand and I want us to pray before we even get into the rest of the service. I want us to pray for the coming election. And while I've said that no man can solve the problem, there are avenues that will be taken by this nation. The president is going to be key in appointing the next appointees to the Supreme Court. They will make decisions that will bring God's blessing or cause us to be exempted from God's blessing nationally. And there are situations that we cannot ignore in the political arena, so we need to pray for revival. And while praying for revival, we need to vote our convictions, and we need to pray that God will take and put His hand into this whole process, because He's the only one that can resolve these problems. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are shaken today, not just because of the cost of things and our feeling the pinch of the economy. We're shaken to see a nation that is afraid, to see politicians that are befuddled, to see presidents with no clear word to solve and resolve the problems, to hear campaign promises that we know that one man in and of himself cannot possibly keep. Oh God, how we need You today. Lord, we need to hear Your voice. We need to give heed to what You say to us in this troubled time. And we as Christians need something to tell the world that's so fearful, so fearful. Oh, my Baba, Hoshanda da Malike, Kohosola Baba, Lite, La Shoda da Manike, Le Sholoba. And Father, we pray today, Lord, in this crucial time, that we would stay focused, Lord, that we would believe You for a mighty outpouring and a mighty revival. And Lord, that we would take courage in our hearts that could be seen by others in this troubled time. And Father, we'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to come to you for the offering. Thank you for singing like you sang today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a time for great rejoicing. If you believe that it takes things like this many times to get the attention of a collective conscience of a nation. And I believe it does. I don't believe anything short of something like we're experiencing right now would cause people to begin to think about our need for God. Amen. So if you're praying just God bless America and put us back to where we were before this began, you're praying the wrong prayer. How can God bless a nation that covers up His Ten Commandments and says, we will not allow them in our judicial courtrooms? And until we can get it out of here so no one is offended by His law for man to live by, we put a tarpaulin over it. And then we push it out of the room and we take it off of the walls. We want it out of the monuments. How can God bless a nation that says if you put a manger scene that is ever since the inception of this nation is a Christian nation, Christians have celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen? Predominant religion in America is Christianity. It is. Believe it or not, it is. But lest anyone be offended, let's don't allow a manger scene anymore in the town square. All the Santa Claus you want, but let's don't let Christians celebrate the faith. And you talk about freedom of speech and expression. One day a year to celebrate our faith, and they say you can't do it because it may offend someone. After 9/11, they put up the university, Berkeley University of California, University UFC, USC, Southern California, Berkeley, they put up a banner that said, God bless America, to show their patriotism and unity at a time when the nation needed to draw together and look to God. And you know what they did? Amen. They came and they took it down and said, someone may be offended. And in a chapel, they had an open Bible in the chapel where people went to pray, and they came in and they took the open Bible out of the chapel on the college campus because someone who isn't of the Christian faith may be offended if you come in and see a Bible open. Amazing. And now something's hit us like what's hitting us. And we scratch our heads. They said that the CEOs of some of the major banks and companies, when they watched the stock market when it all began, a man who sat in the room with them said they sat in stunned silence. They were without words to express what they were seeing. They thought, this is an event that is so absolutely devastating and unthinkable. It's like no one saw this coming in the gravity of it. Amen. People had to see precursors of what may happen, but nothing like what has happened. And they sat in stunned silence. Isn't that incredible? All of the movers and shakers and people with such heady, high-minded, proud, self-sufficient, self-exalting. And there they sit, dumbfounded, watching over $1 trillion be lost in a day in the value of the Dow Jones. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it's not over. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. If my people, saith the Spirit of God. Pretty clear to me that His people are not into repentance. His people are not humbling down. See, we want to blame it on that old sinful world out there. We're just sitting apart from all of that. He said, that world is the way it is because something's wrong with my people. You think His promise is null and void? You think He can't heal a land if His people, will do what He said? Is that a promise from the... If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and what? Repent. The message the church wants to push out. Repent. You don't have anything to repent of? Any Sunday in here? Nothing ever hits you or me? We never need an altar? There's no sins of omission or commission or attitude? There's nothing that touches us? We're oblivious to all of that? No, revival doesn't start with them. Revival starts with us. Can you say amen? And if the church will embrace repentance instead of shoving it away because it's something we don't like to hear about or it puts us on the spot, honey, I'd rather. I heard one preacher say that people are always telling me, as a straight preacher, talking preacher, said people are telling me that I'm always rocking the boat. And he said, I'd rather rock the boat than have the devil wreck the boat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's time we were shook up a little bit. Amen. There's nothing wrong. All right, let's receive this offering and talk about that a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for this offering. I pray that people will see how vital it is if we want to be blessed through this, that we keep the kingdom first. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad I'm in covenant with God in times like this. If you have your Bibles, after you give, please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. I'm really glad that the Lord did not allow us, knowing this was coming, knowing what was about to happen, that He didn't allow us to get overextended here so that we could weather this and grow spiritually as God sends revival to a nation. I'm expecting revival in America. I'm going to say that again so everyone can hear it. I'm expecting revival in America. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a little bit better, but it's still pretty weak. Maybe I better say that again after I'm through preaching. So don't even amen it. Just let me state it again. I'm expecting a revival in America. What is happening in our nation is not unusual. It's part of God's MO. It's part of His method of operation. Amen. I'm glad He chose an economic way of chastising this nation. And don't attribute this to the devil. Because if the devil can do this to America and God's blessing is on America, then the devil can overrule and override God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He cannot overrule and override God Almighty. Amen? He that's in us is what? Always greater than he that's in the world. You got to get that straight from the onset. So being right with God becomes the issue. It's not what's happening around the world or it's being right with God. And getting right with God brings us into a place where we receive strength for troubled times. Because getting right with God doesn't just mean that the blessing is restored upon your life, although that's part of it. It means that now you have a reconciled relationship with Him. See, a lot of the tension in Christians' lives is not even just the culture and the world about them, their families, their financial problems. A lot of it is we don't achieve the peace of God in the midst of all these things. We don't have God's peace reigning within us. Amen? You know you have a privilege as a child of God to commit your way unto Him, trust also in Him, and let Him do the heavy work? Amen. Give your brain a rest, your nerves a rest. Can you say amen? And He will bring it to pass. Did you know you have a privilege of a child of God to pray about everything and not worry about anything? Amens are so weak this morning. Praise God. I've got my work cut out for me today. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is here with me today. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Amen. We need faith to be kicking in, but we need more than faith. We need a relationship with God so that we can have confidence. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows everything. But if our heart condemns us not, listen to this. We have faith toward God. Faith is never exercised outside of a right relationship with God. Say it with me. Faith is never exercised outside of a right relationship with God. Amen. We can't evade or circumvent that issue of being right with God and just use our faith to get prayers answered and needs met. We put faith above heart issues and heart attitudes. And man looks on the outward, but where does God look before anywhere else? He looks on the heart. He looks within. So I'm going to talk about renewing our strength and reclaiming the joy of the Lord. And I want to define the joy of the Lord again differently. I want to define it in the context of a right relationship with Him, so that we can have an actual fellowship relationship with Him. The joy of the Lord is not just when He blesses you with a financial windfall, and takes care of a health issue, and He can do all those things and does all those things. But the joy of the Lord is about the Lord and your relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Yeah.
It involves repentance, but repentance brings reconciliation. Jesus said to the church that He said, be zealous therefore and repent. The seventh of the seven churches of Asia, the church of Laodicea, the materialistic church that said we're rich and increased of goods, we don't need anything. And Jesus is at the door. Clearly they'd lost all intimacy with Christ. He wanted it back. He always is the initiator of intimacy. Say, God is the initiator of intimacy. If you think God is hiding Himself because of a scripture that says you will find me when you seek after me with all of your heart, that God is hiding and you're going to have a wholehearted, all of your energies being exacted to trying to find Him. No, He knows that in our world, in our flesh, in our culture, amen, of a fallen world, if you don't do it with all of your heart, there's other things going to clutter it. So He said, you know, but He is always the initiator of intimacy. The just suffered for the unjust. What was God's ultimate goal? To keep you from hell and get you to heaven? No. That's a byproduct of something more important to God. The Bible said the just, speaking of Jesus, suffered for the unjust, speaking of us, that He might bring us to God. Can you say amen? He wanted the relationship back that He had with Adam before the fall, that He had with Eve before the fall. He wanted that back. And that's why this word atonement and justification, it's all to bring us into reconciliation. There's one of our messages on radio is about the daysman. We need a daysman. And it comes out of the ancient book of Job, where Job said, you know, God and I are having a real issue here. I wish there was a daysman, a go-between, an arbitrator. I wish there was someone, he said, to put his hand on God's shoulder and put his hand on my shoulder and bring us together. Can you say amen? I wish, well, see, Jesus became that for you and for me. He put His hand on God's shoulder, who's justifiably angry at our sin. Amen. And God wanted reconciliation, and He put His hand on our shoulder. And through the blood of His cross, He brought us together, brought us back to God. We've been reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Reconciled for what? For a relationship, a spiritual intimacy and relationship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will forgive his sin, save him from hell, make sure he gets to heaven, bless him in life. Here's the primary thing. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Can you say amen? Everybody say intimacy. When you think of the joy of the Lord, the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the joy of the Lord is your what? I'm going to read it in just a moment. The joy of the Lord is your what? If you're being weakened, and I know you are, by all the things that are happening in your world, in your family, in your life, you have an enemy in the devil, you have an enemy in the flesh, amen, you have an enemy in the world system and culture. And your enemies shall become those of your own household. Satan is not going to let you run and hide from trouble. He's going to stir it up in places that you can't run from. You can run to another church. You can move to another state. Some people are trying to outrun their trouble. We need to run to God, not run from trouble. Just run to God in the day of trouble, because you can't outrun trouble. Jesus said, don't think that becoming a Christian, receiving me, is going to keep you from trouble. In this world you shall have tribulation, trouble, thelpsis, pressure, anguish. Without the joy of the Lord to strengthen you, your emotions will crumble under the load. He said, don't think I've come to send peace. I've come to bring a sword and to set at variance. Honey, if you don't believe the Christian faith is under the gun. Just look at what all the stars are saying. Many of the... I've never seen the faith attacked like it is right now. Even anyone who believes in God, they're trying to make you look foolish. Look like you when you walk, your knuckles drag the ground. You're that dumb. You're some kind of Neanderthal. Just because you believe in God, or you believe that God made this wonderful world and all of the universe, it's too complex to just happen. You believe in intelligent design. Honey, I'm telling you, some of the greatest thinkers of times past believed in intelligent design, that God and science are not at odds. Amen. Somebody said of the Big Bang Theory, the Bible is not in conflict with that. God said, let there be a firmament. Bang! There was a firmament. Can you say amen? Nothing wrong with the Big Bang Theory as long as you understand who made the bang. And who got this out of the bang. Can you say amen? Dr. Wernher von Braun said there's one of the fundamental articles of science is that you always have to have something to evolve. You got to start with something. And what is in the theory of evolution is there's no something to start the process. You can't get something from nothing is a fundamental tenet of science. You have to have something to evolve, to have evolution. Even if that something is a microorganism, it's got to start with it. And the issue is, where did it come from in a vacuum and a void called space? I'm not talking about rock or matter. I'm talking about something that is alive. Man and all his technology can't make a tree. He can't give life to anything. There's one giver of life, and that's our great God. Can you say amen? He did give life to the foliage and the animals and man. He created this thing, and it doesn't take checking your brain to believe that, but the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he stands as intelligent, telling everybody else, you're foolish to believe it. And if you think Ofer believes in the God of the Bible and in historic Christianity, you're very mistaken. Many people would rather follow the gurus of the New Age than they would the apostles of Jesus Christ. They lay their Bibles down and grab anything that's going. It's the spirit of the age, but there are a people. And you know what God said? He said, I'm not at all worried about my church in this time. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. The Bible said of the Antichrist who would come with such deception, that's where the context of that verse is, that he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. He said, we have an unction. John said, we've got an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. Amen. Hereby we know the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Antichrist. He that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, what does that mean? That God was incarnate in Jesus Christ, that God took on flesh and came to this earth. Amen. Is Antichrist. And all of the religious talk and God talk is null and void at the crucial point of whether or not Jesus, amen, was God incarnate. Every spirit that doesn't confess that reality is Antichrist, no matter what they say or what they do after that. I can see it's taking its toll on you. I'm excited about Christmas 24/7. God, give me the right message today. You need the joy of the Lord back. You need to know that God is not, concerned about the true, the real, and the authentic. Amen. We'll outlive this storm. We'll outlast this storm. We could see revival in America because America is starting to shake. CEOs are shuddering this morning. People that had everything in their life planned out based on their 401ks are in trouble today. Just maybe we need to return to God's house. Just maybe we need to listen to God's people. God's people and God's prophets again. Just maybe we need the preacher to preach righteousness from the pulpit so that we can have God's covering. Just maybe a revival is on the way. Just maybe it took this to bring it. Hello? Unless you're so caught up in the world, when it shakes, you shake with it. Saw a lady the other day downsizing on CNN. She lived in this huge building to impress others with. You know, when you get too many bathrooms, after a while it's just about impressing people. You can't possibly use 5 bathrooms unless you have some real bowel issues. But a lot is to say, I've arrived. A lot of what we do is to say, I have arrived. Arrived where? Yeah. Arrived at a state of indebtedness that if this thing shakes a little bit, everything goes south. That's not arriving anywhere. Anyway, this lady had given up this big thing she thought she had to have, and she got this little, in fact, it was an A-frame thing. It's cozy. Everything was shiny and nice. It's an A-frame thing. And to sleep, she's a single woman, to sleep, you climb up into a loft. And she says, you know, she got up in that loft and snuggles down at night with no worries. I'm going to tell you something. If you got worries with whatever you have, it ain't fun.
No, it's not
fun. You say, look what I got below. Oh. And your belly is growling. Everything is all messed. It's not fun. It's not fun anymore. Amen. The world said you got to have this to be happy. You don't got to have that to be happy. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Can you say amen? Someone told me just yesterday, amen, at work, because I felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude to God and happiness, amen, that I have a God in heaven, that all of these new news broadcasts with all of the forlorn faces, and here I sat thinking, dear God in heaven, it is so good to be I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Are you? Are you? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That means you are the bona fide children of the Most High God. Can you say amen? I have a God in heaven who watches over me, who cares for me, who will make a way when there... This is not a scripture, but it is a scriptural statement. Who will make a way when there seemeth to be no way. There's a song out there, they use it in a commercial right now for a guy that just got his new credit card. And he talked to his wife into getting that new TV. And I love them. I love them. I go to Walmart and other places, Best Buy, and I just look at them and say, and when I see a 47-inch, I think that's great, but a 50-inch is better. But if you really want to get that sucker where you need it, let's go to the 73-inch Mitsubishi. But it doesn't as clear as the plasma. How about a 60-inch Pioneer? I likes a 60-inch Pioneer. It's just like being there. Amen. Amen. And it's fine. But anyway, he went in with his credit card, because that's how we do everything, all of us. Amen. And he going to swipe that sucker. And the song came on from, I think, Queen, the British group, came on, and it said, I want it all. I want it all, and I want it now. It has driven our economy for decades. I want it all, and I want it now. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to wait for it. I want it all. I want it now. I don't want to live within my means. I want it all. I want it now. Come on, church. Can you say amen? I want it all, and when do I want it? I want it now. Why do I want it now, and why do I want it all? I want it all, and I want it now, not out of necessity, but out of something that is vacant in my life, something that is not fulfilled by Christ in my life, something that I feel that I've got to have to be happy, when I'm supposed to be happy in whatever state I'm in. If I've got food and I've got raiment and I've got Jesus and I have an eternal work to do for Him here, I have a sense of purpose that goes beyond anything this world can offer. Something really blessed me as a humble pastor. It's when a preacher preached and he said these words, and it really, really blessed me. He said, if you, sir, you, ma'am, are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would be a step down to become the president of the United States. Whew. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. How beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of them that publish good tidings and publish, bring good tidings and publish peace. Hallelujah. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to step down and run for president. But you need to step up and quit trying to find through the flesh what can only be found in the Spirit. We need to simply start practicing what we preach. For godliness with contentment. What is it? What's the true riches? Come on, say it to me. The true riches. Godliness with what? Contentment is what? Great gain. That's when you don't compete. That's when you don't compare. That's when you say, you know something? I can be happy without what the world says I've got to have to be happy. You'd be amazed how happy some of the simplest people in the world are. You've never seen joy till you take a trip with me to a church service sitting on a 2x4 on concrete blocks outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Oh, I'd love to get a plane load of you guys and take you there to give you a sense of what how you can be happy. And you ask yourself, and you know the amazing thing when we were in that first meeting in Jamaica. That first meeting in Jamaica, when you saw the people coming, shoes were a very, very rare thing to have. You were very blessed if you had a pair of them. So what they did to honor God, they wanted to bring their shoes to walk into that Brush Harbor meeting with. So they carried their shoes and went barefooted till they got in the outskirts. And you see all these people carrying their shoes coming barefoot. And to honor the Lord just before going in, they take this old worn pair of shoes, the only pair they had maybe hope of ever getting. So they were proud of these shoes. You see, the email that somebody circulated around came to mind, showed a lady that had fabricated shoes out of something and showed people in all the conditions that most of the people in our world live in. And we think we've got it hard and we think we've got it tough. We've lost our sense of appreciation and gratitude. Can you say amen? And then they'd take those shoes and slip them on at just outside that meeting place. And then they would come walking in with those shoes on, saving them, amen, for God's house on the Lord's day, and sit down. And I thought, boy, these people are so poor. These people are so poor. Until I got back to America, after I saw the way these people worship, the way they praise their God, the value they put on Jesus Christ and the gospel, the exuberance with which they serve their God. And I come back and looked at a church world that's got, compared to them, everything and are still unhappy, unfulfilled. We used to have to pump the old praise service. Every time I come in and saw 18 or more long faces, I decided, okay, let's go with that wake them up song. We don't want no sentimental song. We want a wake up song. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, ye people, shout unto God with the voice of praise. Hosanna. Come on, move your arms up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, but that's not enough. You got to, the momentum has to build. Clap your hands. Oh, you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. After a while, I'm almost speaking in tongues, you know. And the drummer, Lord help him. Thought he's going to get a crick in his neck and break his wrist. Guitar player saying, my smoke is coming off the guitar. He's crying, my fingers are killing me. But we got 13 people not smiling yet. We need to sing another verse and let's sing it even faster. If you want this joy, you must smile for it. And if you want this joy, you must clap for it. And if you want this joy, you must jump for it. And everybody, you know, a few people jumping, some people like that, and some people just looking like, if you think I'm jumping, you're crazy. Well, that's not the joy of the Lord. That's the body and emotions. Can you say amen? I mean, I don't like to start out with the drawn-out song, but I don't like to just appeal to people's emotions. The joy of the Lord is based on a relationship with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And a relationship with Him that brings fulfillment and satisfaction. I've got living water to give you. We need to drink of this water, so that we're not so thirsty for something to satisfy, we try to fill it with what the world says we have to have. I like a car that starts up. I'll be honest with you. I like a car. I remember Jimmy Swagger saying one time, he said he went out and every night after the revival, they had to push this one car off by hand. You know, and they'd get running down the road. He said, take his coat off, and him and the pastor and some of the brethren would push this one guy off every night. And it was about the sixth night of the revival, and they were all tired and aching from, because this is a big, heavy car. They were pushing every night to get started. And he said, the guy said, but I know it ain't much, brothers, but it's what God gave me. I mean, at least he was thankful, you know. But Jimmy Swagger said under his breath, said, well, if God gave it to you, I wish he'd come and push it off for you. I really like a car that starts. I do not like to break down on the way to a funeral or on my way to church. I want a car that runs right. I like a car under warranty if I can keep it under warranty, because I just don't like pulling out $800 and laying it down. Oh, that we would listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. It's not for vainglory. It's not to show off anything. Amen. It is simply, amen. If you think, though, that a car is going to make you happy. If you think that a house with six bathrooms is going to make you happy. If you think a granite top on your sink is going to make you happy. And you're a Christian, you don't understand what happy is. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Happiness begins not in any happening in your life, but in the knowledge that you and God have a relationship that is unbroken by sin, that He can sup with you and you can actually sup with Him. And if you ever get into an intimacy with Christ, He satisfies the deepest longings of your soul. And it doesn't mean you don't have things. I've got a 50-inch plasma. Got it from my son. Got it from my son because he's constantly upgrading. He's always reaching out for some mo. I want mo. And I say, what a deal he gives me on his stuff he discards. Isn't it great? Hey, man, get a several $1,000 TV for $500. And I just keep telling him, go get it, boy. Go get it, whatever you want. Don't hold back, son. I'll take your old this and your old that. Isn't God good? I saw those people worship God. I saw those people love on God. I saw those people with the glory of heaven on their faces. Amen. And I said, you know something? I cannot feel sorry for these people. You know who my sympathy went out to? It's when I got back in America and I saw so many Christians with so much that don't have that relationship with Christ. And they are so miserable, so empty, so cold-hearted, so callous, so filled with ingratitude. Amen. And I said, oh God, would that those people had more material blessing, but not at the expense of what they have spiritually. And more would that we maybe not give up anything necessarily, but that we have what they have in our heart. Can you say amen? Godliness with contentment is, in fact, great gain. So the Bible said in Nehemiah 8, it's really in context 1 through 10. I'm just going to read verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now this word here for strength is maw, M-A-W, maw-oos, or maw-oos. And it means a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold. Place of safety, fastness, harbor, stronghold, refuge, figuratively, of God. Wow. So the strength comes in knowing that God is covering you with His feathers. God is hiding you in His pavilion. The strength comes when you're not worried about protection or provision. See, it's not just, wow, I feel good, this big shot in of adrenaline rush. No, it's absolutely unqualified faith that God is in control of your life. He is providing for you. He's protecting you. Let me read you what strength means in the Hebrew. Again, a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold, harbor, particularly God as your refuge. Thou art my refuge and my strength, my shield, my buckler. Amen. David is literally saying, you're my everything. provider, protector. Amen. You're everything. I have no need to fear, no need to worry. Praise God, I have you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? The joy of the Lord is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength. The joy of who? Of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why? Because God is my refuge. Amen? See, we thought the joy of the Lord could be worked up. We thought somehow we could just turn it on. We could turn the audience on. Amen? You have an enemy in the devil. And he's going to create situations that without this refuge, being able to take refuge in God and be and feel protected and feel like God somehow is in control when everything seems out of control and that God has a plan and purpose. That's why I believe to see revival in America. I believe it's part of God's plan and purpose. I don't believe it's the enemy. I don't believe God has forsaken us. I believe God loves us. He chastens every son that He loves. It's going to shake you and me to see revival. Is souls worth it? Is it worth your shaking, my shaking? I'm having to cut back. How about you? I think about things more. CNN News said the G&W fashion shop is now suddenly fashionable. It was on CNN yesterday. There were a lot of people driving up in pretty SUVs going in the Goodwill. Kids going to outgrow the clothes in 6 months anyway. They got clothes in there with alligators on them. The little guy with a hockey stick. They got name brands. You got to get there before they're picked over. Amen? Somebody said, that's right. Tell it. Like, preach it. Preach on. Preach. Well, what are people doing? They're adjusting. If you don't have the Lord, it's really going to be tough. Because all you got's what the world has to offer, and if it can't offer you anything, it's going to get really tough. One of the things I want to get for a little canopy thing we've got out back and my hand-laid little patio thing is I want a fire pit. I want to spend more time with a little fire burning, roast marshmallows, sit around, just sit outside with the dogs and just sit there. Don't have to do anything in particular. Just be together. Just be together. Quiet before the Lord and together. Everybody's got to go somewhere. Amen. Do something. Just being together isn't a premium anymore. But it is for us. It's a celebration. We celebrate every moment we can spend just together because we understand time is passing. And I have Jesus. Amen. I'm not looking for thrills except in church when I worship Him. Hallelujah. I'm expecting to be thrilled in my soul today. Amen. Because I have the Lord in my heart and in my life. Amen. I've had Him down through all of these years and I've never felt deprived of anything. Do you hear me? I've never felt deprived. I've felt extraordinarily, extremely blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've conducted too many funerals of people who died before their time. I have went to too many hospitals and walked down those halls. You just go see your loved ones. I went to see people that I didn't even know that I was asked to visit. I've been in too many nursing homes. Can you say amen? I've been in too many mental wards. I'm telling you something right now. Amen. I preached too many times to people incarcerated behind bars. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I'm glad I know Jesus today. I'm glad that He is my master. I'm glad that the joy of the Lord, amen, that reconciled relationship with Him is my refuge, my safety, my strength for no matter what I face. We thought the joy of the Lord was a high emotion we felt at church instead of the deep settled peace of knowing God is in control of our life. Amen?
Yeah.
Say it with me. Maoz. The joy of the Lord is my maoz. Hallelujah. Your place of safety, your fastness, your stronghold. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. They're safe. That's the joy of the Lord. knowing that you can go to God no matter what happens, and God will be there for you. Hallelujah! When Israel got that back, they appreciated it. Yes. It wasn't the gold and the silver. It wasn't the city walls restored. It was that relationship with God. Yes. Hallelujah. That gave them strength. They said, we've got a future. We've got a hope. We've got everything we need to rebuild. Hallelujah. Wow. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Listen to it carefully. You know this probably by heart. Try to hurry, but this is last day prophecy stuff. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The root of it all is verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. The financial crisis, headlines in some papers, attributed to greed. Everybody say greed. Ever having, but never having enough. I can't really fault the world too much for that, though it's a sin and it's created terrible situations we're all going to be affected by. But I can't fault them because they don't have Christ. They don't know God. They're always going to be reaching for something, and it's never going to be enough. But when you come to Jesus, amen, that ought to cease. Can you say, man, nothing in a Christian's life should be greed-driven. Or driven out of some sense of emptiness that I have to fulfill with something. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Everything in the Christian life should be God-driven. Amen? Give me this water, lest I thirst again. If you've got living water, then this hungry soul would welcome a drink of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Self-love. Self-love. I believe that's the reason we're seeing for so much perversion. People do not want someone that is opposite. They want someone like themselves. Self-love taken to that degree creates a situation in every nation that's ever allowed self-love to flourish like this, to where people want someone like themselves. Narcissism is a word used for an over indulgence with oneself, a self-love. Narcissism is the word used in our culture, not in the preaching culture, but in the world culture. And it's based on the myth of Narcissus, who saw his reflection in a pool while getting a drink and thought he was so handsome and so good-looking. He pined away the rest of his life because he couldn't have himself. Isn't that incredible self-love? Men shall be lovers of their own self. So when you come to Christ, you become a follower of Jesus, what's the first thing he does? He deals with self-love. Deny yourself. Deny that old overindulgence with oneself and start thinking about other people. Can you say amen? Quit being consumed with yourself. Somebody said he preached right at me in church. Oh, honey. Oh, please. Honey, if you got that scowl on your face, you're not the person I'm trying to preach to. Amen. You already got an attitude before I start speaking. Don't think I singled you out. Your own conscience is bothering you. It ain't this poor preacher bugging you. Now, if the message hits you, that's something else. You'll have to talk to God about that. Because they love themselves, they're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents. Come on, parents. It's the spirit of the age. You don't have to do anything wrong raising your kids. It's the spirit of the age. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Of course, lovers of self is going to love pleasure more than God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is not Pentecostal stuff. The power of godliness is the ability to live in a fallen world and live a righteous and holy life because you're empowered by God to do so. To live an overcoming life, a victorious life. It's not about whether you speak in tongues or not. Amen. Or whether you prophesy or not, or how much anointing you have on you. Anointed preachers have failed miserably, morally. People who speak in tongues, failure rate is just the same as people who do not. There's no difference. Tongues doesn't make the difference. The difference is who is the Lord of your life. Who do you yield your members, servants to obey? Can you say amen? A form of godliness, but deny the power there. Some people say, God made me this way. Honey, God did not make you sinful. God did not make you, amen, to go against His word. Can you say amen? God didn't make you that way. Sin made us this way. And God wants to change that. And He can and He will if we will repent. The big excuse is, God made me this way. Must not be sin because He made me the way I am. No, He did not. You were born into a fallen world with Adam's nature. And God wants to give you His nature. His seed remaineth in us that we what? Sin not. Come on, church. Hallelujah. What a lie from hell that's being engendered. As the end approaches, it'll be difficult to live victoriously in a society that's so corrupted by Satan's lies and sin's unchecked destructive force. I made this statement before when we went down this road. I'm going to say it again today. When I was growing up, it was easier to live for God than it is now. Oh, look at the sad faces. Dear God in heaven, it's tougher now. You can't put your head in the sand. You've got to go to God as your refuge. I was happy yesterday. I had a spell of happiness. I had an overwhelming sense of, in the midst of all this, with all those newspapers laying around opened and none of it good news, where everybody eats their lunch and everybody just, watching the news, looking at the newspapers, it's all bad news. And I walked into that area and I thought, it is so good to know God. Amen. It's so good to have the God of Jacob as my help. That ancient God of Israel that always came through when they were right with Him is my God. And although He is the Ancient of Days, He's contemporary to our time and culture. He's God in the 21st century as much as He was in the first century and before. Hallelujah. And I felt this incredible surge of happiness, and I guess it made my face glow. Because a guy sitting there turned around and he says, Rev, why are you so happy? And that just opened the door. I said, because I have the Lord God of Jacob for my help. What do you want to hear? Because I'm on ecstasy? Just because I'm ecstatic don't mean I'm doing ecstasy. It's not synthetic. It's real. It's not drug-induced that you've got to come down from. I have God. What do you expect me to be? Like everybody else? Like the world that don't know Him, don't have Him? The joy of the Lord is your ma'oz. I could have told him that. It's ma'oz. Where do you get that stuff? He'd say, give me some ma'oz. You can't get ma'oz down at the pharmacy. You can't get it from the pusher man. Can you say amen? The only place you get ma'oz is when you get right with God. He becomes your refuge and your strength, your shield and your buckler. Somebody give Him praise in this room. That's where you get this stuff. Hallelujah. They were overjoyed because they knew God brought us back into this land and God is going to provide for us and God is going to protect us. And they were overjoyed. Hallelujah. It's tougher now. The pressure's on to compromise everywhere you turn and just go with the flow. If you're not careful, you'll be caught up in the attitude and atmosphere of this world. It shakes, you shake, because you've got too much confidence in this and not enough confidence in Him. Right in the middle of judgments in Israel, corrective judgments, you know what God told Jeremiah to do? They're being extricated from their land, carried off into Babylon. And you know what He told Jeremiah to do? He said, these judgments are here because of their sin and rebellion, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to buy a piece of land right here in the land you're being thrown off of. I want you to take the deed, put it in a jar, and bury it somewhere. Because when you get back, and this is something you to do as an act of faith, that God's mercies are new every morning. Though these judgments are in the land, God is going to restore this people. And when He does, there will be land belonging to you right here. I want you to buy land when your land has no value. I want you to buy land when your enemies control the land. I want you to do an act of hope in God's goodness and mercy. Amen. When everybody else has given up all hope, I want you to buy a piece of land when land is somebody else's and worth nothing, and the deed you have to it don't even hold water, because there's a day coming that I'm going to restore, amen, the land. Hallelujah. And I want you to look past the bitterness of this day to the joy of that day. And I want you to do an act of faith that will encourage others that a day will come when our God will save us. Our God will come through. Our God will restore us. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Greek word here for perilous originated from a root word that connotates the reducing of the strength. Say it with me, the reducing of the strength. That's why the joy of the Lord being our strength is so vital to victory in a time when everything in the culture is reducing the strength. What did it say that Antichrist would do during his reign? People would become Christian during that time. Got to be Christians. You can't cut off people's heads for following Christ if they're not Christian. So there will be some coming to God. It'll be the hard way. I'd rather come this way, personally. Amen. Just my thing. I'd rather do it this way. How about you? Do you rather serve Him through the tough times than have to have your head cut off for serving? I'd rather do it this way, personally. That's just a personal choice. You might like to have your head lobbed. That's up to you. I meet all kinds of people. Can you say amen? I understand everybody's not alike. Different strokes for different folks. Oh, Shasha. You don't remember Sly and the Family Stone. Don't even try to figure it out. Amen? Perilous times will come. The Bible said the Antichrist will wear down the saints of the Most High. The persecution is going to be so intense, people are going to be pressed to cave in and to give up. I see it now. I see people that had a zeal for God that don't have it anymore. I see people that used to have the joy of Jesus that don't have it anymore. I meet people that once knew the glory of His presence that don't reflect it anymore. There are people that used to get excited about revival that are giving up on revival. There are people that have been worn down by it all, and it shows, and God wants to address that. He wants to be your strength. He wants His joy to be your strength. He wants you to quit worrying. It's choking the word out of you. No wonder your faith level is down. No wonder your joy level is down. Amen. He wants you to give it to God. He don't want you to give up. He wants you to give over. There's a difference. Giving up means you just give up and accept defeat. Giving over means you commit it to God and you don't carry the burden of it. And the word of God comes alive within you because other things are not choking it out of you. Amen. It's a word that connotates the reducing of the strength. Strong's Concordance calls it hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous. We're in desperate need for the true joy of the Lord that brings with it the strength to overcome. Listen to this carefully. The joy of the Lord is based on a restored relationship with Him, a renewed intimacy with Him, and then through that, a knowledge that He is providing, He is protecting us. And I can truly say God is my Father and pray, my Father in heaven. There's my protection, my provision. It's in the first tenet of the Lord's pattern prayer. My Father, your Father knows what you have need of. He said, so you don't worry about it. Can you say amen? Everybody say my Father.
My Father.
Get excited about your daddy. Hallelujah. Oh, get excited about you, the fact that you have a Father in heaven, not just a God up there somewhere, but someone who loves for you and paternally cares for you. Can you say amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Young men are going to begin to fall during this time. Amen? Young men and women are going to fall. Youth, with all the strength of youth, yet it's going to wear them down. Yeah. Isaiah said, even young men, if you run with the footmen and they tire you, what are you going to do with horses? If when the river is at low tide and it's calm, you can't overcome what's going to happen when the flood tides comes over its banks and drives all those wild beasts inland. What God is saying is, if you can't take a little trouble and trust me, what's going to happen when the big trouble comes? If you can't slay the lion or the bear, how are you going to deal with a giant? David's giant killing faith came because he said, I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. God wants us to begin to take down some lions and bears in our life. Amen. That we've been neglecting, so that we can deal with the giants in the same faith, because we're experienced in victory. I've had to raise up others, because those I called have become weary and fallen by the wayside. I've had to anoint others and send them forth, because those that I've anointed have become wearied and fallen by the wayside. But I say unto you, I would have you rise up, my people, and shake yourself from the dust, O captive daughter of Zion, and I will break the chains of your captivity and set you free to serve me, saith the Lord your God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to live and die just trying to hang on. He wants you to be useful and fruitful. Listen to it as we close. Hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous. The Bible said young men are going to become weary. They're going to run, and yet they're going to faint. They're going to faint. That's one thing I can say it hasn't happened to me. I've been discouraged many times. I've been on the dock where the boat to Tarshish is many times. But I never got on the boat. I just don't relish being in the belly of a fish on the bottom of the sea. I'd rather go with God through the tough stuff than to end up down there. One thing about it, though, out of the depths. Yeah. See, it don't matter how deep you go into rebellion, sin, out of the depths. What happened? You know where those depths are. You know, it can be a depth of depression. Don't have to be a big fish taking you down. Other things can take you down. But out of the depths, what did Jonah do? He said, out of the depths, I cried unto thee. Can you say, man? Aren't you glad for a God that hears? Even when you're in that place of discouragement or fear, or where you can't do anything to extract yourself. Hallelujah. He lifted me from the miry clay, put my feet on the rock, put a song in my heart. The humble shall hear of it, and they will take courage. They'll be glad when they see God's deliverance in my life. See, revival comes when some of you get it back. It's not just some of the other people. It's just some of us get it back. Yeah. Amen. When they hear of... So, see, I can't look at none of you because you're going to be into... When they hear of you getting excited again, and they hear of you, yes, you, amen, getting on fire again, and when they see you coming out of all that pressed you down and declaring the works of the Lord, when they see that, they're going to take courage, praise God, because they're going to know that God is on the throne and God is on the move when they see God moving in and through you and me. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in here. Hallelujah. I inspired somebody by being happy in a troubled time. Well, Brother Venable, what do you think is going to happen with your finances? I don't even try to think about it. The less I think about it, the better I feel. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why do you think I married her? Let her worry. Let me preach.
Bring home the check.
No, we both have to trust the Lord. We've got to trust the Lord. I remember when we first got saved, we couldn't do anything but trust the Lord. But we trusted Him. He took us through it all. He brought us through everything. Amen. He's good, and He's God on top of that. Praise God, or He's God and He's good. Let's finish this. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord, whether you're young or old, whether you think you've got a lot of strength or have no strength, amen, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? See, the joy, say it again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, my ooze, my refuge, my place of safety. Can you say, man, the joy comes in knowing how wonderfully privileged you are to have a God like that to run to and to trust in? Can you say, man? That's what begins to cheer you up. We're not, the world out there is without hope and without who? Because why are they without hope? Because they're without God in this present world. Well, see, we're full of hope. We're always filled with hope because we have God in this present world. Can you say amen? Well, listen to this. I want you to understand how this all correlates together. Listen to it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. They will not faint. Key verse or word here is wait. It is not to take a number and patiently. You've heard the song, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move, you gotta move. So you're waiting for the Lord to get ready. And you're patiently waiting. That is not the Hebrew word. It is a word that means to bind together by twisting. Rope was made when strands were brought together and twisted. Can you say amen? You know what that meant? It meant that God and His covenant people that were estranged because of their rebellion and sin had come back into reconciliation. What did He say? Come and let us reason together. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as snow, red like crimson. They shall be as wool. This is what I want. I want a relationship with you. To bind together by twisting means that you're trusting in God, that God is involved in you. You're involved in Him. Can you say, man, that you're inseparable in life, that you're not without God, and God is not without a people, that we are bound to Him by covenant? Can you say, amen? And we've been bound to Him inextricably. If we don't break the thing, amen, we're bound inextricably. Amen. This thing is bound up together. They that wait upon the Lord, they that put their trust in Him exclusively and have an intimate, reconciled relationship with Him will renew their strength. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Somebody give Him praise in here. Hallelujah! 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 He used to sing the song, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up. That means I'm waiting upon the Lord. Tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Can you say, man? Are you wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus? Or is He in the peripheral? He's somehow, I got to where I couldn't even sing the sentimental song. Pretty melody. I just couldn't sing it anymore. Because everybody got all weepy. And it wasn't the good weepy. It was the weepy of, dear Lord, I'm forlorn, I'm terrible, I'm in bad shape. But you know, there's some consolation because standing somewhere, I can't see my, oh Lord, I don't know where He is, but standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's weeping too. He's the only one who cares and understands. He's over there in the shadows saying, oh, that Bobby, my Lord, he's in a pickle. Oh, I sympathize with him. He's had it bad. They've done him wrong. He's been done wrong. It's wrong. The devil's been on him. Oh, Pamela's been after him. And everybody gets weepy, feeling sorry for themselves. That is not what God wants from His church. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord means to have an intimate, reconciled relationship with Him where you know that He is in control. It strengthens you. Because the God of Jacob is your help. So it don't matter what your trouble is anymore with the God of Jacob to help you. Because He's never lost a battle, never been unfaithful, never forsaken the righteous. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet and let's give Him some praise today. You people too. Hallelujah. Maybe your life is being shaken. Maybe your comfort zone is gone. Maybe what you thought would make you happy is not going to be there anymore for you to cling to. What's left? What is left in your life? What is left in your life? Where does God really fit in to your life? If we were all stripped today of our stuff for being Christians, if you forfeited your house, your land, and maybe your liberty, your personal liberties, what would be left? Where would God fit in? Could you sing praises at midnight after praying? Where would God fit in? Where does God fit in? God's tired of all the God talk, all the spiritual rhetoric. Where does God really fit in? The strength of your marriage is being fulfilled in God. Satan can't get a wedge in. If you love God and your spouse loves God, but if your spouse is empty, they're going to demand of you what only God can fill, and you can't fill it. And the pressure is going to be overwhelming. Right now, people who name the name of Christ or call themselves Christians, the divorce rate in the church, in the clergy, in the pew, is rivaling that of the world right now as we stand here this morning. We used to be able to boast that our marriages were built on better foundations. We used to be able to show the world something different, that our commitments are deeper, stronger, that the love in our heart is more binding than the emotional stuff that's in this world filled with self-love. We used to be able to showcase our lives and say, this is what happens when Christ is the Lord of your life. But statistics are bearing out the fact that it's eroding. It's breaking down. Not only is it breaking down, but now we accept people in spiritual leadership and do not question them, breaking clear commandments of the Lord and justifying it. And we follow them because now we can do it and be blessed too. And the breakdown is here. We don't know much about Maoz, and we need to know something about that. Where would God fit in if we lost everything? Where would God fit in? Could you do like those precious saints in Haiti? Could you come with your one pair of shoes, barefooted, stop at the door of his house, slip them on, and then with the glory on your face, sing the high praises of your King? Because of him, because of heaven, because of the Holy Spirit's residing within you. We're sowing the wind in America. We are reaping the whirlwind. The hope is that Christians will begin to humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and show the world about us. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Anybody in here feel that you have a place or a need for repentance? Anybody in this room, do you have a need for Maoz to be so thoroughly right with God that your soul is so comforted that you can be happy right where you are? Shandabaki Salama, several hands. God is moving.
We have a merciful God. I'm not interpreting this. This is intercessory prayer. We have a merciful God. There is forgiveness with him that he might be feared, but he can't forgive what we don't repent of. That is the issue. It's not God's heart of mercy that isn't touched when we pray sincere prayers. It's our hearts that don't even feel the need for it anymore. We've become complacent. We've accepted compromise as a way of life. We've lost the joy of the Lord. We don't have the strength to face the rigors of life in a fallen world anymore. We need ma'uz more than we need money. We need ma'uz more than we need things. We need ma'uz more than we need silver or gold. We need the deep-seated peace that comes from knowing that our life is hid in Christ, in God. Can you say, man? And we're so happy to be a Christian in troubled times, knowing that we have a Father who's promised to never leave us and never forsake us, and to make a way where there seems to be no way. It's not a scripture, but it is so scriptural. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I look forward to the revival that's going to come when preachers like me preaching just what I'm preaching are going to be back in vogue again. When people are going to ask the question, is there any word from the Lord? Don't just tell me what I want to hear. Don't tickle my ears while the nation is in such trouble. Tell me something, amen, that is verifiable through the Word of God, that God will act in His character and He will move according to His promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe God has saved me for a time such as this, and others like me. Amen. I am not a great preacher. Amen. In the eyes of men, this little church has little or no influence without God's anointing. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a message from the heart of God, and you've heard it this morning. Shana, and it's not for you only. It's for me. It's for the Christian community. Amen. It's for America. Somebody give Him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. 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 God is looking at your heart, and God is looking at my heart. I'm going to walk out of here, and God is going to be first in my life, or everything else is going to take precedence. This is no time to put God down the line in your priorities. This is the time to keep Him number one. Keep the kingdom first. Can you say, man, bow to no other God and don't look anywhere else for fulfillment? And you'd be amazed how happy you can be with what God provides for you from this day forward. Just like the woman that moved out of her bills, her troubles, amen, and climbs up into a loft to go. It's a beautiful place. It looks so cozy, I tell you. Just one woman anyway, single woman, and she goes up into that loft apartment, that loft where her bed is, and there's a little kitchen here, and it all kind of runs together, but she's sitting there reading a book with peace on her face. And I thought, she's more happy than someone living in a penthouse with the stocks going down the 401k in jeopardy, amen, a payment that's overwhelming. I'm thinking that next month I may get kicked out of my penthouse, amen, and may lose my Mercedes. Listen to me, amen, I'd rather sleep in that room, amen, where I have peace in my heart. How about you? Because I've got God, my needs are provided for. Can you say, man, I have shelter, I have good food, I have clothing, I have shoes on my feet, and I have God in heaven as my ma'uz. Can you say, man, the joy, just the joy of having God is my ma'uz, strengthens me no matter what happens in the world around me. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Number two, if you will. Let's sing this one song together. You'll learn the chorus real quickly when we get to the chorus. How many want to pursue Him in this troubled time? How many want His truth in this troubled time? How many want instruction on how to bear up and come through this with victory and joy? How many want to see revival in America? Real revival in this entire nation? Can you say, man? Number two, just let it come up.